Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 6 o'clock on Dukes and Bell, the number one sports talk show in Atlanta for your ride home.
You strong? They said, I'm strong if you strong. I said, we strong then.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Coming up in less than 20 minutes, our conversation with head football coach Dabo Swinney. Coach feeling good about where his team is right now, and he should. They've got a lot of returning starters. They're going to be ranked high when the season starts. Again, that's the coaches in the AP poll, but that's a starting spot. And I think when the college football poll, Mike, rolls around at the end of October, they'll be one of the top four teams. It's just a matter of maintaining it.
You know, the thing about Georgia and Clemson, you and I talked about it when we first started working together all the way back in the summer of 14, that, you know, this is always where Clemson should be. I think Clemson fans going back to the old days. But, yeah, it's where it always should be. You're putting guys in the NFL. Georgia's always putting guys in the NFL. And hopefully that, Georgia can replicate what Clemson did and get a championship. But there's a lot of similarities to what they're doing. They're just – you could argue everybody's spinning off of what Alabama did. But, you know, I think Dabo does it with a kind of a cool vibe. I think players love playing for the guy. And whether, you know, if you're not a Clemson fan, you're not going to agree. But I think it does prove that nice guys don't finish last.
You know? I agree. And, you know, you'll hear him answer this question, which he kind of got a chuckle out of. But I asked him, how have you done this? Because when he got there, this is not what Clemson was. And, you know, Clemson fans, like any other program, you go through an array of coaches and you start to wonder, are we ever going to get it right? This is an example of hiring the right guy. If you get the right guy, Kirby might be the right guy. I think he is at Georgia. We said this. But everybody gets all crazy and afraid. Well, what are we going to do? You hire the right guy, and it takes your program to another level.
I also think there's a lot of similarities with Dabo and Bobby Bowden, because Bobby Bowden had great assistants. You know, he had Mark Richt as an OC. He had Mickey Andrews. And, you know, Dabo's had some unbelievably, you know, and high paid, too, you know, assistants on both sides. And guys he'll talk about in the interview at 6:20 that have gone on to other gigs. So stay tuned for that, Tiger fans.
All right, man, that's coming your way. Today, a lot of conversation about Ronald Acuna being beamed last night, should I say, with the first pitch. 97-mile-per-hour fastball, by the way.
The fastest, because they track everything now. It's the fastest first pitch that Urania has ever thrown in his years in the bigs.
So we've got news in regards to some of the fallout from that. But the good news is, if you're just joining us, is that Ronald Acuna Jr. listed his day-to-day. CT scan on the elbow was normal. The x-rays negative. He is back in the lineup tonight. With that, Craig, behind the glass, man, let's get to the top three.
Time for Dukes and Bell, top three. The top three stories of the day.
Can I count it off?
All right, some fallout is that our first base coach, Eric Young, all right. By the way, the memes are priceless. The look on Eric Young's face last night, I will kill everybody on the field.
Plus the fact that they make the first base coaches and third base coaches wear helmets now, which is silly. He looks like the human cannonball. Like, I mean, he looks like he's coming at you, man.
Yeah, he's been suspended for tonight's game due to yesterday's incident after Ronald Acuna was hit by Urania. Okay, so I'm waiting. What's taking the league so long to suspend the guy who was the culprit?
Look, you got a long-time tradition here, and John Smoltz talked about it, guys. That interview will be online. Craig's going to post it at 929thegame.com. It's already up. And Smoltz, you know, he's as old school as they come. He thinks that he would not give Don Mattingly culpability in this. We disagree, but it's obvious. A guy's ripping you guys up. It's the time-honored tradition. You brush him back. But you and I have debated long and hard today with our listeners, and some agree, some disagree, that maybe it's time to put some of these old, antiquated, some would say, arcane ideas about baseball out to pasture. These unwritten rules.
Let's hear from Freddie Freeman after the game last night. Now, the Braves are back in action tonight, guys, and this is a big series as well. Colorado comes in. Mike and I have talked about it. We'll get more into it, but both teams looking to improve in the standings. Right now, we're in first place. Let's keep building this lead. Colorado is chasing the Arizona Diamondbacks, but here's Freddie Freeman about the situation.
That was gutless. I know that wasn't the Marlins. That was just Jose Urania. I don't understand it. It makes no sense. Just because a player is having fun playing a game, swinging the bat incredibly well, obviously, it just makes no sense. That was completely classless on Jose Urania's part.
Now, David O'Brien, Carl, earlier today, I guess before batting practice, was talking with, again, our young stud. And Ronald Acuna said that he continues to play with that sense of fun. And I agree with him. I mean, there's no reason for him to screw around with that. He says, playing with happiness and joy, having fun. He made clear to Dave he's not focusing on anything now except winning. He also thought the pitch was thrown with intent to hit him.
No doubt it was. And listen, you guys know I love Acuna. Some people in this room or in the glass, behind the glass, they think I love him more than others. Here's the deal. For me, you know, I want to watch and witness greatness.
Right.
I talk about this all the time. You know, when you guys ask, well, you like this guy, you like this guy. We're watching greatness. Now, I don't know if it'll be sustained greatness. That's the key for Acuna. But, Mike, we're watching something
right.
In the midst of watching something special. And because of the BS, it got interrupted. Now, I'm hoping he jumps back in there tonight. And hopefully, you know, again, I'm not saying leadoff hit a home run. But let's keep this thing moving. And hopefully he continues to build on what has been, in my opinion, a rookie of the year kind of season.
But this is the thing about these unwritten rules. And, look, it applies to a number of sports, guys. You know, it's one thing, you know, in football, the NFL, we saw receivers getting mugged, and the NFL backed that off because they wanted to see more score. Remember how the Patriots used to after the Colts receivers?
Yeah.
You know, like Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne, those guys. And in soccer, we bellyache about United not getting calls because our small, undersized guys with tremendous technical ability get pushed around and the refs let it happen. You want to see scoring in all sports, okay? Old school guys want defense. Nobody else wants defense. In the case of hockey, you want to see your guy on the ice. You know, the Sidney Crosby's the one. Some don't like that guy. You want to see him get hit. You want to see excellence, man. You don't want to see neutral trap from the Devils. You want to see showtime on ice in all sports. So I think it applies to baseball. So this is something I would hope the MLB comes down on him. Puig just got two games for his role in the fracas between the Giants and the Dodgers.
Yeah, and speaking of wanting to get after a guy, now Puig had an opportunity. If you didn't see that the other night, kind of delayed response from Puig. If you want him, go get him. Tonight it is Julio Teheran on the hill for the Bravos, man. John Gray pitching for the Rockies, Mike. We'll see how this turns out. Four-game set, by the way, tonight through Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're wondering, yes, we see the Marlins again next week.
And by the way, a lot of guys are asking the question, when Don Mattingly had his consecutive home run streak, did somebody whale him in the head? Can't find those numbers because it's a consecutive streak. According to the rules, and they had this, I think Chip Carey had this last night, the consecutive streak does continue, though, because he was hit by the first pitch. So he can still hit a home run,
yes,
theoretically,
correct,
tonight and hold on,
correct,
to his home run streak.
Yeah, and but when I say interrupted, I mean simply the
rhythm. Right.
Yeah, that rhythm, man. All right, story number two, guys. It's Kirby Smart. Dog's getting ready for the start of the season. He was asked about the next step for Jake Fromm. Here's what Kirby said.
I think he's much more comfortable. I mean, you can't even imagine this time last year to now. I mean, that's a lot of games. He's played a lot of football games. His understanding of what we're trying to do offensively. And, you know, I think his step now is like he knows what the defense is doing before the defense does it.
Okay. So that's impressive. What about Justin? I'm sorry, Coach. You don't have a comment on Justin? Okay. Nothing on Justin, Mike. Just the fact that Fromm mm-hmm. seems to be getting better. And I said this, I hope they open up this offense, guys, and let him work. Meanwhile, Kirby did talk about the concerns on the offensive line. Now, we think this O-line is going to be really talented, really good, but he said there are some concerns.
Getting a formidable backup center, getting a good two sets of tackles. Who's going to be the tackle if this guy goes down? Who's going to be the right tackle in the competition? Which guards can go out and play tackle? Who are the guys that can play left and right side? Who are the guys that can just play left and they'll go left tackle and left guard? Kendall Baker's been at left tackle for a couple days working out there. Cade's worked inside some. I mean, we got a done by committee. So when you say a concern, I mean, I'm concerned about every spot.
All right. Real quick, let's rewind as we're hearing from Kirby, talking to little dogs as they get ready for the upcoming season. News just coming in.
Pardon me, Mark Bowman from MLB.com says MLB, Major League Baseball, Levy and Urena with a six-game suspension, the Marlins pitcher, and an undisclosed fine for intentionally hitting Acuna. Eric Young, you received a one-game suspension. That'll be served tonight. We talked about that earlier. But apparently, you're going to get a six-game suspension and going to be light in the wallet.
All right.
Nothing for Don Mattingly as we see right now.
He will be light in the wallet. But in essence, if you're talking about starting every fifth day, what is that, Mike? That's one start. So, yes. Okay. You like it?
No, it's better than nothing.
It's better than nothing.
It beats a sharp stick in the eye or a baseball to your wrist.
And again, I know some people are going, 10 games. There are precedents in baseball that say these things and these kind of events have happened before. This is what the norm is.
But this is something, and we talked so much, if you're just getting in your cars this afternoon, guys, we're talking about it. Because Carl and I grew up with the old school baseball, and Smoltz talked about it. But is that something now which needs to go away? You know, people like the flair and the dramatics of the guy throwing a bat around and all the stuff that used to be taboo. People don't want to see a star young, you know, 20-year-old kid who's just raking, you know, maybe possibly getting a season injury, a season-ending injury.
Yeah, I don't have any problems with the six games. That's fine. Now, I'm going to be honest. Hold on a second. I'm looking at the schedule. Because, will he be back? He will be back when we play them in Miami starting August 23rd. And we're there for four games. There's a chance.
Right.
He might be on the hill
again. Well, that's
again.
Good, because if he's on the hill, that means he's in the batter's box.
And that's the point I'm getting to. So I'm just looking at this from where the Braves are and right now. And so it looks like that will be the case when we play them. Yep, August 23rd. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yep, he'll miss the Rocky, or he'll miss 5-6 games. Yeah, he'll be back.
All right, let's put a Rawlings right in his ear hole. Jeff Schultz from The Athletic on Twitter. Urena has been suspended 6 games. That's pathetically weak.
All right, man. Let's also hear in story number 3 from our head football coach, Dan Quinn. Falcons, second preseason game tomorrow, guys. You'll hear it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Lots to talk about Jalen Ramsey and the stuff he said about Matt Ryan. Quinn was asked, is that bulletin board material?
What we do, it's about us, how we play, our attitude, our style. And so the bulletin board material, you can throw to somebody else. But for us, it's about our team, our way that we go. So we don't have to wait on anybody else to get us real pumped up to play well. Like, we're already ready to rock.
Now, Mike and I will talk plenty more about what we expect tomorrow, things we'll be looking for as we lead up to the pregame show starting at 5 o'clock here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, Matt Ryan diffused it as well, said in his 11-year career, and I'm paraphrasing that obviously that stuff's going to kind of roll off his back. I mean, what do you guys expect? I mean, you think they're going to say, we're coming to Jacksonville, and hell's coming with us. You were not going to get that response from the Falcons, although they will see Jalen Ramsey perhaps coming up next week for week 3 of pre.
Let's give you a chance to win some money right now.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
the land. Remember that? L-A-N-D. That's what they tell me. Cleveland, the land.
So what are we, Lanta?
No, I don't know. L-A-N-D is the word. Land.
The land. Land. Land ho. Hey, man. Last chance for you to win, man. Land goes to 72881. That's the 6 o'clock word for our national signing bonus contest. We'd like to make you our fifth $1,000 winner.
All right, guys. He's one of the best coaches in college football. How did he make it happen at Clemson? They're very good. You'll hear from Dabo Swinney on Dukes and Bell next. It is Dukes and Bell here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And joining us right now on the WadeFord.com hotline, none other than Dabo Swinney, the head football coach at Clemson. Coach, how you doing today?
Man, I'm good. Just finished up our third big scrimmage and really pleased with what we've been able to get done to this point. So had a good day and getting ready to watch the tape and have meetings tonight and keep moving forward. Game day's getting closer by the minute.
Coach Swinney, it would be selfish on our part, but it'd be great for us if you could tell us who your quarterback's going to be this season.
Well, we got Kelly Bryant, we got Trevor Lawrence, and we got Chase Bryce. And I think at some point this season, you'll see all three of those guys, and I think they'll all play well when they get their opportunity to play.
Coach, what did you learn from the first scrimmage, the one you had just a few days ago, and then as you just spoke recently here, what have you learned about your team?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, you know, we got a lot of guys. This is the most veteran team I've had. And, you know, we got a lot of guys that came back. And it's been fun to see them because they really have had an incredible focus. Just a daily focus as far as how they've approached practice every day. Those guys have grinded as like a freshman out there. And I love seeing that. I think our leadership has been really good. But probably, you know, again, I know a lot already about this team just because we have so many guys back at every position that has good experience. We're not really starting over anywhere. But the biggest thing that I learned is this class that we signed, man, we really hit on those guys. I mean, just a lot of young talent coming in here that has demonstrated that they can play.
Coach, on the recruiting trails, we're talking with a national champion. Only four of those guys right now that are active. It's Dabo Swinney from Clemson with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Have you actually been in the same driveway as like Kirby or somebody else on the recruiting trail recently?
I bump into a lot of guys on the road. You know, we go out on the road most of the time. It's December and January. Those 2 months, we're pretty much on the road all the time. That's the contact period. And so, yeah, you'll bump into some guys. I actually was in recruiting a kid last year, and I came out of the house, and the entire LSU staff was standing there in the circle. That was kind of crazy. So we had a little coaches' convention in the cul-de-sac for a minute there, and then, all right, boys, y'all head on in. And guess what? Neither one of us got it. So, at least we had some good fellowship.
That's a great story. Dabo Swinney joining us here on Dukes and Bell. And obviously, coaches in Atlanta. This is a hotbed for recruiting and in Georgia. So, guys, you guys know Gainesville's own Deshaun Watson came out of there and went to Clemson and had a great career. And, Coach, I want to ask you about Deshaun here in a little bit. But I also want to get your opinion on something that's going on in college football. And just get your opinion of the state of what's going on. We've got a situation at Ohio State. Don't know what the outcome is going to be with Urban Meyer. Also, Maryland losing a young man and a situation where they say, you know, the culture was difficult and old school. Well, what do you make of these stories as they affect college football?
I think that, be honest with you, if you go back 20 years, there was probably something then that was disappointing 20 years ago. And if you go forward 20 years from now, there's probably going to be something disappointing then. I think anytime you have people involved, there's always going to be poor decisions, mistakes, disappointment, whatever it may be. And so I think it's easy to paint with a broad brush in today's society because we live in a hyper technological world where everything is instantaneous from an information standpoint, and I think that's a positive. I don't think that's a negative. But the one bad part of it is social media is great because it really exposes bad stuff, but it's bad too in that it paints with a broad brush, and I think people are so quick to all of a sudden assume that it's bad everywhere, and that's not the case. There's so much good in college football. There's so much good, but that doesn't mean that there's not bad. That doesn't mean there's not disappointment. People that do the wrong things. I don't really care what profession. In your profession, there's good and there's bad. Right. If you line up a bunch of churches, there's good and then there's bad. And Lord knows, we know if you deal with politics, there's good and there's bad. And in the business world, there's good and there's bad. But this is a very public profession. And so I think that, again, we live in a world today where the bad gets exposed pretty quickly. But there's so much good out there. And so if you hate to see situations and some of the things that are going on out there, that's the world we live in. That's life, and there's always going to be disappointments and mistakes again. But I just think there's a lot of good going on in college football. There's a lot of young people that are getting an incredible opportunity to change their life, to empower themselves for the rest of their life, to have an unbelievable experience. There's a lot of great coaches out there that love the players, and that's what I try to focus on. I think you learn from every situation, good and bad, but I just try to stay focused on what we're trying to do here at Clemson and hopefully, through year in and year out, the experiences that our players leave here with, hopefully we can make the world a little bit better place. Hopefully by how we do things, and there's nobody perfect, but hopefully we can impact these guys' lives and have a great culture, and they take that with them and take that into their communities and into their next jobs or locker rooms and marriages, et cetera, and hopefully bring about some positive change and can look back on their time here and be very fond of it.
It's Dabo Swinney, guys. You recognize the voice, national champion, head coach of Clemson. The Final Four, it's like a birth right now for the Tigers up in Death Valley. And, you know, Coach, hearing you speak, and we talked to, like, Vic Beasley and Grady Jarrett, guys talk about you the way guys, Florida State players, talked about Coach Bowden. And that's got to make you feel proud.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, Coach Bowden, I've always had an incredible amount of respect for him, and I think he loved his players. And I don't try to emulate anybody, just try to be who I am. But I do love my players, always have. And I'm tough on them, but I love them. And I've always prided myself on having great relationships long after our guys are gone from here. And, you know, those are a couple guys that stay in touch with and really proud of the men that they've become. And, you know, just loved my time. And that's one of the things that I really try to focus on, too, is, you know, especially now I'm going on my 10th year as the head coach, and it's my 16th year at Clemson. So I've been here a while, and I have so many relationships with so many guys that I've been able to coach and meet through my incredible going on 16-year journey here at Clemson. And to me, that's the best part of what I get to do, is just be able to just have these lifelong friendships and relationships and to see transformation in their lives, to really see them, you know, figure it out, and, you know, through their success, through their struggles. And, you know, it just makes me smile to see the transformation, you know, to see a guy like Vic Beasley, man, oh, man. If y'all only knew where he was as a freshman and a redshirt freshman and a redshirt sophomore, and to see him now, it's so awesome. And to see, you know, some of my guys that didn't even play pro football, but they're out, they're doing wonderful things in the community and their marriages and as businessmen or whatever it is they're doing. A lot of them are coaches, et cetera. It's just fun to see them, you know, down the road and for them to come hug your neck. That's really, to me, I think, the measure of a coach. It's not the scoreboard or any of that stuff. It's really when you meet the 30-year-old version of that player, does he turn and go the other way, or does he come and high-five you and hug your neck and thank you for the opportunity? You know, when they're a little more mature, they understand things, a bigger picture of life. To me, that's why I coach. And, you know, I'm a long way from perfect and try to get better every year, you know, hopefully we've done a good job of that over the last 15 years here.
Dabo, I want to ask you just briefly, if you could, sum up. Because here's the deal. You just said it. You've been there a long time. It's Dabo Swinney, guys, on Dukes and Bell. We'll talk about the schedule and ask him about the scheduling. We just found out that Clemson adds LSU here in a minute. How did you do it? When you got there, Clemson was not this. How'd you do it?
Well, that's so funny. A short question, but a very deep and intense answer. I mean, the biggest thing is, first of all, just being who I am. I think that's the number one thing. I've always, you know, I made a decision early on that I had a vision for what I wanted to do and how to do it and what I wanted the program to look like, what the why of our program was going to be, you know, why we were going to practice a certain way, why we were going to have the academic standards the way we were going to have them, why we were going to have discipline the way we were going to have it. You know, I made a decision on that a long time ago, the type of people we were going to recruit, the criteria we were going to use, and we haven't varied from that. And so I think, number one, it starts with that. You have to have a vision for what you want to do, and you got to be able to articulate that, and you got to be able to create the buy-in, you know, and I think that's number one. And then number two, you've got to get good people. So for me, it's recruiting the right people. My very first class, I only signed 12 guys. I signed 12 guys. That's it. And so, you know, we've been very disciplined on how we've recruited, especially over the last 3 or 4 years as we've really established our culture, you know, as the head coach. And then, you know, also when you take over a job, you got to understand none of those people came there for you to be their head coach. So you've got to be able to create that buy-in with them, and you've got to make the best of what you have. And I think, you know, sometimes a lot of people lose sight of that. And I've always taken an inside-out approach. I think too many people focus on the outside in, and they get distracted by a result or the outcome or what the outside noise is. And so they start making decisions based on the short term as opposed to the long term. And I've always been focused on trying to just build a great program, not a good team, and have been relentless about that. But I hire people first, coaches second. I recruit people first, players second. You know, and that's just been an approach that I've stuck with. And again, I've just tried to be myself. I've tried to be relentless about getting better, learning and growing, and man, just being have this insatiable desire to improve.
You've done it.
And I start over every year. That's the other thing. We start over every single year as if like nobody knows anything. Like we all were just, boom, dropped into Clemson from Mars, and nobody knows anything. I start over every year because it's so important that everybody understands, you know, how we got here and what we do, how we do it, and but more importantly, why we do it this way. And so everybody's on the same page, and so we've been able to have good continuity on our staff. And when we've had change on our staff, I've had a fair amount of change. Guys have gone on to be head coaches or whatever, or coordinators. You know, we've been able to, you know, hire good people to fill those voids.
All right, just about a minute left with Coach Dabo Swinney from Clemson. Always a great time catching up with Coach. 101-30 for his career.
I know.
Coach, we talked about the quarterback battle. You want to see maybe a little bit of everybody out there. You got a great secondary. What's the one concern? Do you have a concern for this squad going into 18?
I wouldn't say I have a concern other than, you know, just maintaining the relentless daily focus that it takes to be great and to just really – put the blinders on, man, and just run our race. You know, don't get distracted by anything, nothing. Just be relentless about our preparation every day, week in and week out, and truly, you know, we know we're good enough. You know, these guys know that. These senior guys have won 40 games in 3 years. They've been in three playoffs, three straight conference championships. They get it. They know that they're talented. But they also know what it takes. And so just having that relentless, focused intensity that it takes to be great and to become the best version of you, that's all we're after. And so, you know, don't make anything about anybody else. It's just make it all about Clemson. And let's focus on the standard that we've set. Don't lose to Clemson. You know, let's take care of the things that we control. And if we do that and we do it with great effort and passion each week, you know, eye of the tiger, we can live with whatever result we get.
Coach, I have to ask, you talk to Deshaun?
Oh, yeah.
How often?
Yeah.
How often?
We text quite a bit and text him not too long ago, just as he was getting going into camp. And he's fired up and excited. And so just try to stay in touch with all those guys. And I talked to him the day that he tore his knee and then have kept up with him, you know, all throughout the years he's gone through his rehab. And I did not get a chance to see him this summer. He wasn't able to get down, but he's been grinding, you know, to get back and be 100% healthy. And he feels great. He's excited about where he is. And I can't wait to see him back out on the field, you know, doing what he loves to do.
Dabo, you're one of our favorites, man. I really do appreciate the way you handle your business. You put it out there, and you take young men and you turn them into productive citizens in society. We appreciate you jumping on with us here on Dukes and Bell.
Yes, sir. Good to be with you. Have a great day.
In light of the dastardly act, a night that will live in infamy, a young 20-year-old Venezuelan plunked by a hack pitcher from the Dominican. A player you'd like to see get plunked. Or it could be anybody.
Person.
Be a celebrity.
Person.
Let's stay out of politics, shall
Yes, please.
We?
Yes, please.
Stay in
yo lane.
Thank you. 404-741-0929. Hey, man, it's our game winner tonight. Someone you'd like to see get plunked. What do you got?
If that male nurse tries to come up here and check on me again, it's going to wish he's had a baseball that I hit him with.
Apparently,
Jeremiah, what's going on,
apparently
man?
Apparently, Jeremiah has a... He's gone. I mean, not literally, but I mean...
Oh, I was going to say, Mike.
He fell off his shed.
Wow. So he's in the hospital, and he's got a nurse checking on him, and he's sick of her? Or him?
It could be a he. That could be Gaylord Falker could be stopping
by. I'm just
by.
Saying. Hey, Jeremiah, hang tight, man.
Hang in there, man.
Hang tight.
And remember, OxyContin is habit-forming. Hey, man, you're on the radio, buddy boy. What do you got for us? Somebody like to see hit with a baseball.
What's up, guys?
Hey, man.
Hey, man, I'm a diehard Buffalo Bills fan. Oh. Take a guess who I would love to hit with a baseball.
Scott Norwood.
Tom Brady, man.
Okay. I got a chuckle out of Scott Norwood. Hey, man, you're on the radio, amigo. What do you got for us?
Funny. Hey, man.
Sean McDonough needs to get hit with the baseball.
Why? Why?
The Monday Night Football.
Why? McDonough made John Gruden want to go work for Mark Davis again. That's crazy. Hey, man, you're on the radio, buddy. Somebody would like to see get hit with a baseball.
Hey, man. Yeah, I would love Ramsey to get hit like 3 times and every other Falcons fan who thinks that Matt Ryan is not a high-caliber quarterback.
Let's see Ramsey get plunked.
Yeah, I'm with that.
Like I said, the Falcons, for those who missed the sound bites earlier in the headlines, they've tried to deflate any air out of this little situation. Because they are going to play Jacksonville next week. But I'm sure ESPN will try to pump some life into it.
Well, listen, if I was on the broadcast, Mike, I would.
Why am I not doing Monday Night Football? I thought I had a fantastic effortless delivery, Carl.
Not really.
Okay, your opinion. Agree to disagree. Hey, man, you're on the radio.
Actually,
buddy.
You made Gruden quit and go back to coaching, okay?
I'll never work with that little bald stooge again, I'll tell you that. Hey, Carla, you're on the radio. What do you got?
Mike and Carl, how you guys doing?
Hey, man.
Good. No politics, right?
Damn right.
Okay. Jalen Ramsey, man.
That's two.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. He's running both. Somebody's going to knock him out of his ding-dong at some point.
Yeah. Big mouth will get you in trouble. Cash a check. Yo, can't.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's one thing. If you don't like it, do something about it.
Oh, no.
It, man,
dude,
right?
I'm with you, bro. Listen, and like I said, it's not tricking if you got it. When you got game, and he's really good.
Right.
You know, but I would love to see a receiver this year catch a couple of touchdowns on him and just clown.
I think Joe Simpson's got that tattoo. It ain't tricking. But, hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. what do you got for us? A guy you'd like to see hit with a baseball.
Well, Bob, I'm going to have to go with that Marvin Williams, Bob, because you never can trust a big brother's smile, Bob.
Stinger, you are tripping. I'd like to hit Billy Knight in the head with a baseball. Carl, is that wrong?
Billy Knight?
Yeah, he drafted that stiff.
Yeah, but come on. I mean, I thought you and Knight kicked it in the nightclub that one time.
Sheldon Williams, that clown. That guy had a head like a hammerhead shark. One eyeball over here, the other one over there.
You know that's not fair, right?
Still landed Candace Parker, though.
Yeah, that's true.
He got game.
I'm glad you're up on the lingo, Bob.
Hey, stay tuned, guys. Hawks fans, the return of the Bob Rathbun Dance Party coming to the new Phillips Arena. Stay tuned. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for a guy you'd like to see hit with a baseball?
Hey, guys, I got a couple of knuckleballs. I wish Nolan Ryan could throw a fastball at them. Their names rhyme with Ringo and Fettuccine, and they make fun of Saints players.
Oh, I know. Please, we're not going that road. You can dump that one.
No, thank you. I realize it.
Thank you. He's not heavy. He's my brother. Hey, man, you're on the radio, Joe. What do you got for us? Someone you'd like to see hit with a baseball.
That was very sneaky, though.
Yeah,
it was very sneaky.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey,
man.
What you got?
Hey,
no, the guy's phone is kaput. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What you got?
Nick Saban and my broadcast partner, because my Eagles is as big as my behind.
I don't know. Who's he talking about?
I have no idea. He says he had a big behind. I have no idea who that is.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, buddy. Somebody like to see him with a baseball.
Let's pop Urban Meyer.
Okay.
Yeah, core values right here, pal.
With that.
Coming at you. By the way, hasn't the 2 weeks come and gone on this this blue ribbon panel investigation?
Listen, I don't know when they're going to come to a decision. I really don't, Mike. I think it's going to be like right as college football season starts, and they go, he's back, and then it's nothing.
It's a one-game suspension if it's anything. Maybe they'll pull a Johnny Football on him. He'll be suspended for a half for a while.
You don't think he gets fired, right?
No. Okay. I think there's no way Urban Meyer gets fired. They've made this guy to be out such a rogue meeting, which he is, but they've certainly been able to create some separation. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for a guy you'd like to see hit with a baseball?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
So, Coach Petrino, I still haven't forgot.
Yeah. It's going to be fun to watch him get smoked every week in the ACC this year, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, no Lamar Jackson. They lost a lot of good players to the draft. We'll see. We'll see.
You're on the radio, boy. What you got?
Hey, man.
Hey, man. It's our game winner tonight. Somebody likes to hit with a baseball. What you got?
Well, only one of you are going to remember this probably, but George Teague.
Oh, no. That's funny. George Teague. Do you guys know who he is?
No? Well, look it up, Craig. Can do everything for you. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. It's our game winner. What you got?
Yes, yeah, talk about Keith Hernandez. What a douchebag.
You know, I really like Keith, and I've read his book, but his takes are so off base. He got everything wrong.
Who did he say? I'm sorry?
You said Keith Hernandez.
Okay. Oh,
yeah, I mean, you know, Keith just, but he's old school. The book is old school. And I think the old school tough, it's time to file that as useless, man.
Last night, if you missed those comments, Hernandez on the Mets broadcast basically said, you have to hit Acuna.
Right.
Not to intentionally hurt him. He said, don't throw it at his head, but you got to hit him. He's so hot. That's right. What he said.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for a guy? I'd like to see it with a baseball.
I'd like to see a couple people. First, Keith Hernandez.
Two.
Yes.
And then that guy who calls up here and calls you guys Chief. Dilly Dilly or Hey Man, not Chief.
My man. Thank you, sir.
Well, Chief.
Thank you, man.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What you got? Callers calling out callers. Hey, what you got?
I got two I can't decide. First, I want Gronk to get plugged right in his smug, ugly face.
Gronk? Okay.
Then Philip Rivers. Every time something bad happens, he's got that whiny dang face on.
He does. Yeah.
I wanted him to get one right in that whiny dang face, too.
You know what makes me laugh is our caller right there really was contemplating who he wanted to hit more.
Right. But Gronk, remember, he didn't play in the Super Bowl against us. He didn't bother us.
No. 92.9 The Game and Ackerman Security are giving you a chance to be hooked up. One lucky winner with a Philadelphia Flyaway with Hugh Douglas to kick off the football season from September 5th through the 7th, guys. It's the Philly trip that includes round-trip airfare for the winner and a guest, courtesy of Southwest Airlines, two-night hotel stay, and a $1,000 Visa gift card. Go to our contest page, 929thegame.com, to register today. We'll come back. We'll clear our throats. Thanks to you guys participating. We know. We're all amped up. We'd like to hit somebody with the baseball. I get it. We'll tell you who's coming on the show tomorrow as we get ready for the Falcons' second preseason game. And, man, what a show you missed today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.